Now let's ask God to bless our time this evening. Father, Amen. We thank you that we can look into the Word of God. And Lord, the Word of God should always be a thrill to our soul. God, many of us have heard messages many, many times. God, but let it be an excitement to us tonight. Let it be a time of refreshment. Lord, may it be like a cool glass of water on a hot summer day. Lord, I pray you refresh these dear people. Lord, they turn the care of the world aside and give the devil a black eye and come out to church tonight. They could be doing something else. Thank you for them. Lord, I pray you bless this message. And Lord, if there's anyone in our congregation tonight, gathered here with God's people that does not know you, Lord, that Lord, you speak to their heart before tonight ends that they would come and know Christ. We pray for the dear lady, 86 years old, in the hospital. Give great power to those that will witness to her. May she come to know Christ, we pray. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we sing, Send the Light. It's in our hymn book. We have the same hymn book you do. Soul stirring hymns. How we need to have our souls stirred. We sing, So Send I You. We've been challenged by Pastor Peter's presentation, his wife Beth, and the Fowler Avenue Baptist Church in Tampa is my wife's home church. That's where her father has pastored for 47 years. My father-in-law was in a couple of the pictures there in the DVD. I have the perfect in-law relationships. I love my in-laws. They love me. It just so happens we're 1,200 miles apart, so that makes it easier to love each other, I guess. But this evening, we sing Jesus Saves, and we should. And we sing together, Shall I go in empty-handed? Shall I meet my Savior so? And we sing, Let the lower lights be burning, a song that discusses about lining up the ship for the harbor that the shipmen might safely come in. And it reminds me of the moon. The moon does not provide its own light. It simply reflects the light of the sun. And tonight, this evening, we are to be reflectors of God's holy light.
Amen.
And this evening, I'd just like to preach to you in the time I have, Authorized and Sent. The title of the message,
Amen.
Authorized and Sent. I'm so glad tonight that as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you put the call to ministry aside for being a pastor or missionary. And every born-again Christian has this wonderful privilege to be authorized and sent by God.
Amen.
It shouldn't be, oh no, we have to go out on Tuesday night. Thank you, sir. We should not have to go. It shouldn't be, we have to go out on Tuesday night, soul winning, or Saturday morning. So it should be like a birthday party. I can't wait to go out. It should be, I have to serve God, but I get to serve God.
Amen.
And here in Isaiah chapter 6, if you'll look with me, please. And not too long ago, This is one of a couple of scriptures we'll look up quickly tonight. And Pastor Barker recently in one of our youth rallies preached this. And my kids still remember. They quote the message often, or the main points. They'll say Pastor Barker preached out of here in the out of Isaiah 6 to go. Remember that? And lo, or behold, what a sinner I am. And then, perceive the fields and the great need. Go low, they say that. And they were very enamored with Pastor Barker's message. He is a gifted preacher, and thank God for him. And thank God you pray, and I'm sure you do, for your pastor. Isaiah chapter 6, looking together with me at verse 1. The Bible says, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I was sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2, Above it stood the seraphims on one side. Six, one had six wings, with twain to cover his face, and with twain to cover his feet. And with twain they did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. A reference to the Trinity there. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And as we read on and on here in Isaiah chapter 6, we see how Isaiah was amazed by the power and the holiness of God. If we could just recapture in our lives a glimpse of the holiness of God, it will so help us to live for God. And Isaiah says that I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And he had a real revival experience with God. I believe that Isaiah was a great follower of God already, but even great followers of God have imperfections and sin. The closer we get to the light, the more imperfections we see. You're looking at a 52-year-old man in an 18-year-old body. I still think I'm a teenager until I go in the bathroom early in the morning and flip on the light. Where'd that wrinkle come from? Where did those gray hairs come from? Listen, and by the way, if you're in your teens or 20s or 30s, hold on, just keep waking up in the morning before you know it. Unless Jesus comes. unless God called you home early.
Yeah.
You'll be the same age I am. Yeah. And all those that have been, are my age or more, you know what I'm talking about is the truth. And time goes quickly. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, when we see the light, when we get closer to the light, we see imperfections. We get closer to Jesus, we see attitudes and things that God wants to deal with and help us. Someone said this, when God's saints get clean, sinners get saved. That's what revival brings, a closeness to God. And so this evening, I just want to challenge us and remind us. This is a soul-winning church. Your pastor's a soul winner. There's soul winners here. He tells me of your efforts for God, and thank God for that. And I've observed your church and been part of some youth rallies and different things. And so I'm not telling you anything new. I just want to encourage you and remind myself of the importance. And certainly Isaiah was authorized by God and sent. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And so he was authorized by God. God says, "Who will go for us?" It's interesting. God says, "Us." Take that, Jehovah's false witnesses. We saw then six of them on the street yesterday going door to door. There were five of us and six of them. We were outnumbered, but we really weren't outnumbered because one with God is in the majority. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's like the Marines, Brother Dave. One Marine is the majority. And so here tonight, certainly Isaiah was authorized by God and sent. He saw the holiness of God. He saw his lack of holiness. He saw the great need. And he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Would
Amen.
You say tonight, Christian friend, afresh, "Here am I, Lord, send me."
Amen.
One of the most amazing witnessing stories in all the New York City churches that I have ever heard is about your pastor. Hang on now. This would cost some people a lot of money to hear this. All right. I have everyone's attention right now. Man, I could preach something really good right now. Pastor Barker in Queens Village knocked on a door. It just so happened there was a Roman Catholic family gathered together. They had been going through a difficult time. I heard this by one of the family members years later. And they were praying, and if I remember correctly, part of the family were on their knees praying as Roman Catholics. They were dissatisfied with their church of false religion. If I offended you, I'm sorry, but it's still true. And that's mildly compared to our friend Pastor Barker, what he would say about the Roman Catholic Church. There's, after all, they're sending millions to hell. We don't hate them. We hate the false religion. Amen?
Amen.
We love the people. We don't want to hurt them. We want to help them.
That's right.
We want to give them the gospel. But they were praying that God would send, of all things, an angel.
Amen.
And a knock came to the door. They opened the door. And who did they see?
Pastor Barker.
How many have heard that story?
No.
See, he's humble. He didn't tell them. And that's true. I heard it from... Why do preachers have to say that's true? Everybody knows Baptist fundamental preachers tell the truth.
Okay.
All right, thank you. So why do we have to say it's true? Well, we struggled too, don't we? You heard about the three preachers meeting together at the Stop 20 Diner. I wasn't there, but three preachers were meeting. Your pastor wasn't there, but there were three preachers meeting there. And they heard that Pastor Barker went there, so they wanted to meet there. And they were kind of just unburdening their hearts on a Monday morning at breakfast. And one said, "You know, let's share some weaknesses, brothers, so we can, you know, pray one for another." And one said, "Well, you know, I had this trouble once in a while. My wife says, 'Where were you?' And I will lie and I'll say I was out on visitation when really I was out golfing." And the other ones shook their heads and said, "That's terrible, brother." And another preacher said, "Well, here's my confession." He said, "I have a real problem. I can go in a store and I get this terrible temptation, even though God's provided for me and I have enough. I've once recently stole a pair of sneakers that I could have. And they all shook their heads and said, "Oh, it's terrible." And the third preacher, they said, "Well, what's your confession this morning?" And the third preacher said, "I'd rather not say." And they said, "Well, come on, we shared with you. Come on, tell us." And they said this, "A friend is someone you can tell your worst weakness to and know they'll still love you and still be your friend." And finally, they twisted his arm. He said, "Guys, I really don't want to say." And finally, they convinced him. And the third preacher said, "Well, guys, my weakness, my besetting sin is that I'm a terrible gossip. And I can't wait to leave this diner and tell everybody." Your best answer. Isaiah authorized and sent Roman Catholics on their knees, praying for an angel. A Bible-believing fundamental Baptist preacher early in this church's history showed up. Thank God. And many of that family were saved, were born again.
Amen.
And so today, God has authorized us and sent He sent us. He's authorized you as a born-again believer. We have all the authority of heaven. He calls us His ambassadors. When the President of the United States sends an ambassador from the country, he has the sanction of our nation to represent our country. We are ambassadors of a wonderful place called heaven, where there are no ills, bills, or pills. Certainly Isaiah knew that he was authorized and sent by Almighty God. You know, they need to know God. And what they really need to know is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what they need are Christians like you and I who are walking close to God, filled with the Spirit of God, that we might have the power of God to tell them the good news of Jesus and His love. Now, this is nothing new to any of you. I know it's simply review, but we have a Lord's Table service sanctioned by God as an ordinance of the church. As review, really, don't we? For as often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Do this in remembrance of me. God wants us to be reminded. And so, as we walk close to God and are filled with the Spirit, or relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit in faith and seeking God, how important it is for us to seek God every morning. First thing, seeking God. Getting in this blessed book. Amen. We believe it from Genesis to Matthew. It's all good. I was a service years ago, and the preacher announced his text, and he started reading his text within 15 seconds, and he said, I still hear Bible pages turning. If you don't get to where I'm at, just start reading. It's all good. And that's true. And this evening, how we need to seek God in prayer and fellowship, and you're wise to be here gathered tonight at a Bible-believing church. And I'll tell you, it's better than anything that's on the devil vision out there. I don't mean to preach against TV. I apologize. But listen, this evening, it's better than anything they have. We have the truth, and you're wise. You're to be commended. You're a blessing to this preacher and to others by your presence tonight.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Thank God for you.
Amen.
How important it is for us to seek God in the church. There's something healing about church. You ever notice? Now you say, oh, this guy, there's something wrong with God. He's a little flaky, he's a little charismatic here. I just mean, honestly, there's something powerful about God's people getting together at God's house, at the appointed time of meeting. Have you ever noticed, you can be feeling under the weather, so to speak, not feeling good, not feeling like going to church. You get around God's people, it just lifts you up. How many have ever experienced that? I mean, it happens. If you're down a little emotionally, discouraged, get around God's people in a good church like this one. It just lifts you up. Don't you feel bad for the people that chose not to be here tonight? And how about the people in every church that would love to be in a meeting like this, but because of health reasons, because of certain problems, they can't be here. They would love to be here. And there are people that are healthy that could be here, but chose not to be here. Don't get mad at them. Don't get upset at them. Don't badger them. But just pray for them and encourage them to do the right thing. Because, after all, we're in the business of helping people. Amen?
Amen.
Not hurting people.
Yes.
And Isaiah, certainly, he was sanctioned by God. My mind goes back to a time when I had no teenagers in our home. And we now have four teenagers. So you know that I need prayer. We have four teenagers at home right now. Well, actually, one will be home Saturday from school, college. And we right now have three, but soon we'll have four. And our youngest daughter, who's now just turned 15, our lives have been so changed. Nothing but the gospel has changed my life more than having Melissa join our family. She's just an amazing young lady. She's like, unlike her father, she's like a social butterfly. She'll come into a room and brand new church, and she'll just go over, flit around, talk to people. I stand back in amazement. I have to make myself go talk to people. I'm just not a people person. If I had my rathers, and if I had my rathers tonight, I'd live up on a mountain somewhere, the little stream that had trout in it. I could just go out and not run into anybody. But God's call is more important than that. Praise the Lord. But Melissa, when she was 4 years old, we were driving to the YMCA along with our other three children that were very young, about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And we were driving along. It just so happened that my wife, Becky, had been called for special duty to come to her father's church down in Florida as a surprise 40th anniversary, I believe it was, or maybe it was 35th, I forget, but it was an anniversary service for her father, and the whole morning service was going to be taken over by the song leader and different people, and they had two bulletins. They had the regular bulletin, and they had a surprise bulletin, and my wife kept saying, he's going to blow up. When the song leader takes the service up, he's gonna lose it. He's gonna mess up the whole thing. All these people love him. My father, you know, like a lot of fundamental Baptists, he's just gonna lose his temper. He's gonna get angry. And my wife was so concerned, but it worked so wonderfully. It worked out good. My wife prayed a lot, and she walked out on the platform. My father-in-law was so surprised to see her. But the problem is, she left me home alone with four little children. I'll tell you, I began to appreciate mom then at a time like that more. And we were driving to church, the YMCA, where we started, and we were driving along. And everything was fine, so we got about halfway there. And little Melissa, 4 years old, she began to say, I want mommy. I want mom. I said, Daddy's here. Big sisters are here. Little brother's here. It's okay, Melissa. And the more I tried to convince her everything was okay, the more she didn't believe it. And I want mommy. She cried more fervently and more fervently. I began to bribe her. Like the bus minister, you know. I said, hey, I'll eat your candy bars. I'll eat your ice cream. I'll send you out wherever you want. We'll go to Toys R Us. We'll do whatever. I mean, I caved in. Situational ethics. I mean, you would have too if you'd been there. That little girl crying and complaining. And I just began to, I'm silent for it. God, what should I do? I mean, it was bad. And I was almost like panicked. And we got closer to the church. The closer we got to the YMCA where the church met. And she just cried more and more. You know, God taught me a valuable lesson through that. That's how I should be when my feet hit the floor in the morning. My heart should say, I want God. Isaiah experienced that. You know what the lost need out here? They need God's people to seek God so much, so fervently, that we're so fervent about God that it just boils out automatically. That our cup runs over. That it's not just a duty to soul win. It's a delight to soul win. Yeah. Yielded. Isaiah was yielded. It's about people that are lost and undone without Christ and His Son. The song that we heard in the DVD is true. People need the Lord. People need help. Just a couple Tuesdays ago, we were in the morning, we were going out knocking on some doors. And a lady came to the door, and I thought she looked familiar. And she said, oh, I know you. You were by our church, by our house about a year and a half ago. And then I remembered, and her husband had invited us in, and we had a good talk, and they were lost, but we had a good chance to witness, and I said, well, how's your husband? And she hung her head, and she said, well, he just died. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then as she began to talk, she said, not only did my husband recently die, but my mother recently died. And not only did my mother die, and it wasn't nearly as important, but to her it was a heart-touching, rendering thing. She said, my dog died. Now, if you're a pet lover, an animal lover, you can understand. So she lost her husband, her mother, and her dog in a short time, man. Our hearts went out to her, and we prayed with her. And she actually came and visited the church, and we gave her some literature about scriptures that will help with grief and having lost loved ones. But I'm just saying that there are people out there that desperately need our help. We're authorized by God. Others, Lord, yes, others, this my motto be, Lord, let me live for others that I, Lord, might be like Thee. I want to be conscious of the time, so I'm going to take my watch off and put it on the pulpit. What does it mean when a pastor takes his watch off? Absolutely nothing. You heard about the preacher who was saying, you know, it really bothers me when people in our church take their watch and they look at it, and another preacher said, it doesn't bother me when they look at their watch. It's when they take it off and start listening to see if it's still working. That's what bothers me. This evening, we are authorized and sent. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 tells us to teach the message, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How America needs, once again, the message of repentance.
Amen.
Our country is turning more and more rotten and going more and further away from the truth. And how sad. In the last days, men will call good evil and evil good, and we see it. Yeah. We see it. I hope he's wrong, but the pastor where Brother Peter was at this morning, Hudson View Baptist Church in Yonkers, I spoke to him in the middle of the week last week, and he told me, Brother Tent, in 4 years we'll be in jail for preaching against homosexuality. Yeah. And I hope he's wrong. But he may be right. And I see, and we see as Christians, we see storm clouds brewing. Yeah. And perhaps persecution coming. But what are we to do? Hide the shadows and shake and fear? No, we're to keep on doing what we were doing and keep serving God and even do it then. We are authorized by God. We don't have to have the nation's authority. We would like to have it, but we are authorized by a higher authority, God Himself.
Amen.
Someone told me last night, in fact, my wife, someone told her that This person was at a public school banquet for grade school children. This person told my wife, I believe it was yesterday, that the female teachers were dressed like harlots, and the children, ages 6 to 10, 11, were singing, "I look good, I look good," along with a rap beat. And then they began to sing another verse of that terrible rap song, and it said, "I look," and they used the word we use to describe going to hell, the D word, "I look that good, D good." Grade school, America. I remember in 1969 in fifth grade, a teacher sitting in front of us in a public school in the Tampa Bay area, Florida, a Christian born-again lady reading the Bible, praying.
Amen.
I remember that. Not so now. Not so now. In the last days, men will call good evil, evil good. How we need to witness in our land and get as many people saved as we can. Amen. Because there's no hope without the gospel.
Amen.
There's no hope in the Pope. There's no hope in any pastor. There's no hope in all this positive preaching. Now, listen, yes. I think we should be the most positive people on planet Earth. That's
Amen.
The other race I didn't even mean. Positive
right.
people, planet Earth. We should be positive. This word is full of wonderful, positive
Amen.
Yes. You can buy the most expensive, beautiful car. I saw one today pass me. I was taking some people home to Flushing, Queens, and it's got a Mercedes. The windows were all fogged up because there were six of us Baptists in the car. And in fact, our friend, the mayor of Franklin Square, Phil, who's here tonight, was in the back. There were six of us. And all the windows were steamed up, and I changed lanes. I didn't see this Mercedes. This guy, if looks could kill, you'd have to have another preacher tonight. He wanted, he was giving that road rage kind of thing going on. And there were ladies from our church, so I had to act spiritual. If I'd have been by myself, I'd probably rolled my window down and said something to him. But anyway, say all that to say this, he had a really nice car. One of the ladies remarked, "Oh, what a beautiful car." But you could find the nicest, most beautiful, most expensive car, park it out here in your nice parking lot, and hook up the battery to the positive post and leave the negative post. I don't care how expensive it is. I don't care how good it is. If you only have the positive and not the negative, it won't work.
Yeah. Right.
And that's true in the church. That's true in preaching the Word of God. If you only have the positive, man, I like the platform. I can walk back and forth. I can walk back and forth. I march 21 steps. And so tonight, it's a positive Christian life. Yes, it is. But we must not. We cannot. Go against God and leave out judgment and hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I've listened to a couple of these positive guys for about 2 or 3 minutes, and that probably gets so sick, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I got to turn it off. But for a while, they make me feel like really good. You know, that's really deceiving. Satan's a strategist. He's a counterfeiter. And if I weren't saved, I believe my temptation would be to make counterfeit bills, Brother Peter. Last week at our church, Brother Peter had a small $20 bill. And a larger $20 bill, and then a big $100 bill, talking about investment and missions, eternal. That was a good object lesson. I'll have to use it. And I think if I weren't saved, I would just like to just crank out money, you know? Thank God I'm saved, and I don't have that criminal mind.
Yeah.
But it's not the prosperity gospel. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head.
Right.
Now, God loves us, and He provides for our needs, and often beyond our needs.
Amen.
But we're to set our affection on things above, with heaven in view. So I'm just simply saying that Isaiah, he was authorized and sent.
Amen.
And if you look with me, please, to another scripture quickly this evening. Not only was Isaiah authorized and sent, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself was authorized and sent. If we could look to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and we know this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're to be followers of Christ, Christians like Christ. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if the Lord Jesus Christ lived in the New York City metropolitan area, He would have such a compassion as He does from heaven. But personally, bodily, if He were here, He would go after the lost. A Christian friend of mine that was in his mid-70s, passed away a couple years ago, and his motto of life was pursue a lost person every day. Christian, it's a great joy, isn't it, to be able to witness? Aren't Christians that do not witness missing a great blessing? You know, it's such a tremendous blessing they miss by not witnessing. And it's a great blessing to us. But here in John chapter 20, looking together with me at verse 21, the Bible tells us here, in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again. John chapter 20, and verse 21. Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. God the Father sent God the Son to this sin-cursed earth, heaven gave up its best to come and be a part of this greatest commission. And so, as the Father sent Jesus, we are sent by the Lord Himself. In January, I was in Flushing, and I was going to meet my daughters who were coming from Brooklyn by train. First time they'd ever done it. And I had a friend with me, and it was dark. It was about 6 o'clock. It was already dark. And I was looking at the intersection of Main and Roosevelt. If you've been there, you know how busy that is. And I was looking, I was a little concerned, and I didn't notice the sign that said, no turns permitted before 7 p.m. at night. And I really honestly didn't know it was there, and I turned right. And as soon as I turned right, there was a police officer standing with a ticket book in his hand, and his hand like this. And for just a split second, because of the old sinful nature, split second now, I thought, maybe I can turn left real quick and whip around this policeman and get away. I mean, after all, he's on his feet. I have wheels. And it didn't last. I realized real quick, hey, I need to stop. He had all the authority of New York City behind that name. When we go out and tell others about Jesus, we have it right here in many other places.
Amen.
We have the authority of God.
Amen.
What a privilege.
Yes.
Sometimes we struggle with what will they think? What will they do? Oh, Lord, it's embarrassing or whatever. Goes through our mind, and sometimes it's placed there by the evil one. Mm-hmm. Let's just realize that we have the authority of heaven.
Amen.
Behind us. Isaiah did. He was authorized and sent. Jesus was authorized and sent. And one day he's waiting that call from the Father. Go. And then we'll experience the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's much discrepancy today among even Bible-believing churches. When will the rapture take place? I believe with all my heart the rapture will take place before the tribulation. If some of those guys want to stay back here and be on the tribulation, so be it. But on the way up, I hope God will give me enough pride to be able to say, I told you so. I told you so. I was fishing with a preacher that, if I named his name, probably all of you know him, about 4 or 5 years ago. And we were fishing away, and I was real intense on catching fish, and I really wasn't paying a lot of attention. Gentlemen, have you ever noticed that if you've been reading the Bible? I didn't say newspaper, because I know we have spiritual men here. Spiritual men can read a newspaper once in a while, too. It's okay. But have you ever noticed you can be reading the Word of God or a newspaper, and your wife will say something, and you hear, but it doesn't register? Have you ever noticed that ever happened to anyone else? Now, ladies, honestly, it's a fact, physiological fact, that a lady's brain works in such a way, God's made it this way, that ladies can concentrate on two things at once. Amazing. You're ahead of us that way, ladies. You really are. And so I heard this man saying something, this preacher saying something about the tribulation, about how we could catch fish when people were turning down the mark of the beast, but it really didn't register. And as he kept talking, I began to think, what? He was talking about going through part of the tribulation, a lot of it, and getting snatched out just before the great judgment of God. And I turned around finally, it registered with me, and I said, what? And he's going upon that. Now, I love this brother, and he loves me, and we can still have a level of fellowship. We couldn't start a church together, but we can have a level of fellowship, and I don't, he's, in a lot of ways, he's a great man, but I'm just saying tonight, Jesus is coming before the tribulation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And what we need to do until he comes again is get as many in as we possibly can.
Amen.
Your pastor preached a brief message to me one night without even realizing it. He had been away, I believe, at the Holiness Conference out in the Midwest, and I was here visiting just one night. I think I had a missionary or friend or guest or something, and I was walking out, and we were talking, and he said, I've been away at this Holiness Conference, and he said, Brother Ken, it's not just the hardness of them out there, it's the hardness of our hearts. It's not just the hardness of them, it's the hardness of our hearts. And I don't think he meant it, and I don't think he knew it, but that spoke to my heart. I need to go forth with compassion, bearing precious seed, and doubtless we will come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. The Lord Jesus Christ was authorized and sent, and He authorized and sends us. And tonight, child of God, you are authorized and sent by the Lord Himself. In verse 21 again, it says, the Father sent me, even so send I you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are called ambassadors, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing it is to be able to tell others the good news of Jesus and His love. You've heard about the stadiums, Yankee Shea Stadium being changed over, and what a waste of money, I think. That's not something probably I should say, but I already said it. I can't take it back. But anyway, and people are talking about, oh, if I can just get a plastic bottle full of dirt from a pitcher's mound. First thing, you know what happens to that dirt?
I mean, people spit in it, they get sick and they throw up in it, and people want a plastic bottle of that dirt. I mean, people are willing to pay thousands of dollars for a plastic bottle of dirt from Yankee Stadium. People are settling for dirt when God has for them, figuratively speaking, gold. And sometimes it happens to Christians. We set our sights too low. Oh, God couldn't possibly use me to reach that
millionaire.
God couldn't possibly use me to reach that politician. Yes, God delights in using His children to do powerful things. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. And show you great and mighty things, but you know not. Christians, say your thing, your vision on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Isaiah was authorized and said, Jesus was authorized and said, and so are we.
Amen.
Yes, tonight.
Amen.
What a privilege we have to know that we are authorized and sin.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to see you faithful in a church that magnifies and glorifies His name. You have your doctrine right. You have your standards right. There's no charismatic confusion here. There's some charismatic people that I know that in some ways they're more dedicated than some Baptists I know.
Yeah.
If I shouldn't have said that, scratch that from the record. But they're wrong and they're trespassing. They're giving into emotional things, if not satanic things in the sign gifts. Listen, if people have the gift of healing, why don't they walk up and down the quarters of the hospital and lay hands on those dear people that are suffering? Why don't they go to the streets where we see people that are veterans and had legs blown off? Why don't they go up to them and heal them?
Yeah.
They have the gift of healing. Use it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't want to, just because a lot of people have the wildfire, doesn't mean that we fundamental Baptists should shy away from having the real fire of God.
Mm-hmm.
And how we need that in our churches, in our lives. I need that. You need that.
Amen.
We need a daily, a fresh touch from God.
Amen.
That's what we need. Because we are authorized and sent by Almighty God.
Yes.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be a born-again Christian and have that tremendous privilege to serve Him. In closing, turn with me quickly to that little book just before Revelation, the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And 9/11, right after 9/11, some of us were down in Ground Zero area doing some witnessing. We stopped by to hear Evangelist Ron Comfort preaching at Brother Record's church in Manhattan. I'll never forget this man of God coming up to me after the meeting. He said, Brother, what have you been doing? I said, well, Dr. Comfort, we were down in Ground Zero. We were witnessing. These are friends of mine. My uncle, who's a pastor in Texas, had a group here, and I introduced him. And he began to quote to me, verbatim, these verses that I would like for us to look at together, familiar verses that I'm sure that are familiar around Bible Baptist Church. And God used him that night to really grasp my heart with these verses of Scripture. The Bible says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith and praying the Holy Ghost." We're to keep ourselves built up that we can be a blessing to reach others. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. At Bible Baptist Church, Grace Baptist Church, people need for you and I to have compassion on them.
Amen.
I'm glad that someone had enough compassion on me to get me under the influence of the gospel. For that, if they had not, I'd be lost and on my way to hell. Probably not even alive today. I'm glad that someone had enough compassion to get down on their knees and pray that Kent Sager would come to know Jesus. I'm glad that someone had enough compassion to sacrifice and set aside a place like this that God's people might come to the authority center, to the nerve center, to the command post, and get built up in the faith and go out and preach the gospel and tell others the goodness is for all of us.
Amen.
The Scripture goes on and says here to us, and if some have compassion, make a difference. And then verse 23. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The other day on the street, we met a man that was mowing the lawn of some people. In fact, we were walking around the neighborhood. He came up to us. It was nice. He said, "What are you all selling?" And we said, "We're not selling anything. We're giving away gospel tracts and telling people about Jesus." And we got to talk to him. And before a half an hour or so was over, he bowed his head and he asked Jesus to come into his heart.
Amen.
But before he asked Jesus to come into his heart, he was actually boasting about how recently he'd been driving down the street in Rosedale, Queens, and he saw a house on fire, and he ran into the house, and he found a mother and a child, and he brought them out and saved their lives. Now, I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But I thought to myself, as he told that,
Well, if he really did, that's a wonderful thing. He saved physical lives. I'll tell you the truth. When I'm around your faithful member, Brother Dave Carnes, I feel like a little kid around a baseball hero. I really do. He's the only man that I've had sign my Bible probably in the last 35 years. That's the truth. I used to, as a teenager, a guy in my 20s, I'd go to Dr. Jack Allen come to our church, and Jay Vernon McGee came to our church, and Dr. Lee Robertson, I'd sign my Bible. And there's Brother Carnes' signature, a 52-year-old guy's Bible. I just feel like a little kid, and he's a hero. Save people's lives.
Amen.
But as this man began to extol himself, this is before he prayed to be saved, I thought, man, that's wonderful. He really did that. And I didn't say anything. I wanted to say, hey, quit bragging. You know? But I did. Because I wanted to get saved. I wanted to be a stumbling block. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, well, if you're privileged by God's power and all to God's glory to lead someone to Christ, you, in effect, by God's power, according to Jude here, pull them out of the fire. Eternally. Eternally. It seems to me that if eternity is real, nothing else should matter. And if eternity is not real, let's close our churches, let's get rid of our Bibles, and let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But I'm glad tonight that Jesus is real, God is real, heaven is real, eternity is real.
Yeah.
And we should invest our life in that which is eternal. God's eternal purposes, God's eternal.
Amen.
Ever from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Amen.
We serve an eternal God. And I don't care what politician, I don't care what kind of IQ they have, and they can say that we can worship Mohammed, or we can worship Buddha, or you name any name. But I want to tell you tonight, the one to worship is the living true God.
Amen.
We need to invest our lives in that which is eternal. God, and God's word is eternal. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Amen.
I remember my ordination in 1988, Woodside Community Baptist Church. Someone asked me, Pastor, quote a verse that says that God's word is eternal. And that's the verse we use. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. God is eternal. God's word is eternal. Heaven is eternal. Don't you like that? A place where there are no ills, bills, or pills. Thank God. What are with these politicians? They're taxing us to death. I'm not trying to start some political revolt tonight, but if God lays that on your heart, come see me after. They raised our property taxes where we live $3,000 in 1 year. They raised our taxes in 1 year more than most Americans pay in a year. And they won't be satisfied until they get our blood. I don't know why I said that. That's not the message, but God's eternal matters. God Himself, God's Word. Heaven is forever. There won't be taxes in heaven. There'll only be God. I've told some people at our church, hey, if you'll do this for me, I'll pay you $1 million when we get to heaven. I'm just going to reach down this ground, get a brick, or part of a brick, and hand it to you. You know? You just have to wait a while, but I'll be glad to pay you. Heaven is forever. But sadly, let's have compassion tonight. When we talk about hell, we should do so with a tear in our heart. It's been said that tears are liquid love. We should love the lost and undone. And I'm talking to myself. I'm probably as guilty of this as anyone else, looking at the lost and the liberals and the God-haters and those who profess themselves to be wise and become fools and those who would advocate for a man and a man to get married and adopt children. What will the next generation bring? No wonder we hear of children taking guns and killing others. It's not gun control that will save America. It's God control.
Yes.
Something about this pulpit here. I usually don't preach like this. I'm usually a very nice, reserved preacher. Now, something about preaching in Pastor Parker's pulpit. I've never been behind this pulpit before. Man, just bringing out this meanness in me. But anyway, it's not gun control, it's God control. Don't say Brother Barker. Don't tell Brother Barker I said that, but he's going to hear me on the internet anyway. But anyway, we love you, Brother Barker! I just talked 12,000 miles in one point. How far are the Philippines?
I don't know.
We don't even know how far it is, but it's a long way. Heaven is forever. Hell is forever. Think of that. Hell is forever. Harold Camping says now, I used to believe hell's forever, but now I've changed my mind. People just go there and they burn up. Well, that's a nice little thought, but it's not scriptural.
Yeah.
It's not.
Sometimes I'll tell you the honest truth, even as a fundamental Baptist preacher. When I begin to think and study and pray about the reality of hell, I wish it didn't exist. But because of the holiness of God, it's probably wrong for me to even say that, but because of the holiness of God and the judgment of God, God's justice demands hell. He became sin for us, all of us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He could not sin because He was God. He did not sin because He was God. He did not sin. He could not sin. But God made Him sin. And so the justice of God demands an eternal hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire.
Right.
And how we should go forth with compassion. There are millions around us.
Yes.
Dying and going to that hell. They're dying without Christ. They're going to hell. Not for a lifetime, not for a century, not for a million years, not for 10 trillion years, but forever and forever and forever and forever. No wonder the Bible challenges us to lay down for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. So God is forever, God's word is forever, heaven is forever, hell is forever. And the souls of men and women, boys and girls, young people around the world are forever. We'll be created with a new body everlasting in heaven to glorify Christ if they're born again. But we'll be created with a new body to suffer the pains of indescribable torments forever. I remember meeting a man one day on a cold January day in a street in Queens. And we were witnessing to him. We warned him about hell. And lovingly, we should do so. And he said to me, I want to go to hell. It's warm there. My friends will be there. We'll have a big beer party. I said, oh no, sir. It's not like that. It's a place of outer darkness, utter darkness, of terrible torment and pain. It's not a party place. In New York Harbor stands a lady with her torch raised to the sky. And all who see her know she stands for liberty, or you're not. I'm so glad to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. Let us pray that America will continue to have freedoms, because we're losing our freedoms. There are pressures as I speak to begin to control what preachers say behind the sacred desk in America. What makes America great is not Wall Street. It's not the 300 plus million people. It's not the riches. What has, and if it's continue to be, will make America great, is pulpits on fire for God.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky. And all who see her, all who kneel there, live forever. All the saints can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and hold. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates my soul. On the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that old rugged cross is my statue of liberty. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray tonight that you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd encourage some soul winner that's been disgraced. Lord, I know that happened. Lord, I pray you'd help some Christian that here this evening that just needs to let go and let God and yield to God and be faithful in this matter of witnessing, evangelism, and soul winning. Lord, I pray that you will do wonderful things in our hearts and our lives, and you'll give us divine surprises of people in the days ahead that will be reached through the gospel witness from our mouths. We pray.